In this study in 2017, it said 40% of all adults in America were addicted to, pain, sugar, TV, pizza, drugs. It's drugs. 40% of all American adults in 2017 were addicted to drugs. 40%. Okay? Now, that's not including alcohol, pizza, social media, shopping, porn, like a bunch of other things. Eating, like a bunch of other actual serious things to be we considered people could be addicted to today. So that's kind of maybe a shocker to you, but I'm assuming you're somewhat up with the current times. Life is crazy right now, and our country, our culture, our world is in a very sensitive state, so to speak. And this was just in 2017, so this is already, 3 years old, 4 years old. Okay, so that's, there's approximately 325 million people, okay? And that doesn't include children either, under the age of an adult age, 18, okay? So this is like skewed, per se, okay? So I tell you that because it just kind of gets your wheels turning on where we're going, okay, as a culture, okay? But I think, and I hope today's message will help prove, I hope today's message will prove that there's actually something even more serious. There's a greater addiction, okay, than the drug addiction, okay? There's a greater addiction, and it affects our parenting, our marriage choice, relationships, how you relate to your church or even evaluate your church, how we process purchases. What do you think this might be? This audience participation. I don't want to just talk. Let's go. Come on. Get your brains going. What do you think? Huh? Happiness. Is it up there? No, it's on your thing, you cheaters. Okay. Happiness. Okay, you can put the slide up officially. Happiness, okay? So that is the message today. The paradox of happiness, okay? This is crazy, and I want to try to break this down for you guys about the addiction of happiness that Americans specifically have, okay? Now, there's two general different types of happiness, and I'll get a little bit into that, but not too much. But I want to first kind of prove my point that we are addicted to happiness, okay? One is, this is more of a simple, fun one, right? But if you've been into Target or something like that lately, I'm sure you've seen it's like usually like an embroidered script pillow, or maybe you go to your vacation home or you go on an Airbnb and it says, happiness is homemade or something like that. Or you can get a floor mat for your front door that says something about happiness. You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you've got shot glasses up at the top shelf that says something about happiness, or you've got a sign, above the pantry that says something about happiness above the laundry room, or what else? There's pictures, right? This is my happy place. Happiness is homemade. Happiness is with you, or something like that. We're addicted to happiness. I kid you not. I believe some of you can go home today, and you're gonna open the front door and step on the happiness mat and go, oh my gosh. I'm addicted to happiness, okay? Now, it's not presented as an addiction, obviously, because it's not inherently bad. We all know this. Happiness is good, okay? So that's just one example. But that's a lot of happiness merchandise out there, okay? All right? Example number two to kind of show to you guys happiness is an addiction that's real, okay? Dennis Prager, have you heard the name before? Yes, great talk show for decades now. He has actually a happiness hour that he does. And one of the questions he commonly asks during this happiness hour to his interviewees is, what was it your parents wanted for you most? And he asked that, okay? Now, was it wealth? Was it success? Was it to be good? Was it to be loved? 85% of the interviewees said, my parents wanted me to be happy. This is over decades of this guy's talk show. He's interviewed a lot of amazing people, okay? 85% of the people said, my parents wanted me to be happy, okay? So this is just another little example, another little hint, okay? Now, there's another study that was done. A leading expert named Martin Seligman. He's a psychologist. He's kind of like the leading expert on actually this topic, okay? He did a study called Boomer Blues. Boomer Blues, late 80s, early 90s. So it's a bit outdated, but it's still relevant, okay? So this study on the baby boomer generation, which if you're unfamiliar, is if you're born from 1946 to 1964, okay? The baby boomers, amazing generation, okay? 41% of all small businesses are usually owned by baby boomers. Over 50% of the nation's wealth is owned by the baby boomers. Okay, these are hardworking, creative, entrepreneurial people. Much of you fit the demographic, I'm assuming. Okay, so he studied the baby boomers and the rate of unhappiness increased 10 times that of the previous generation, okay? And some of you might be right on the fence of that, and some of you on either side of the baby boomer generation, but 10 times more unhappy than the generation before, okay? Anything that is impacted by a rate of 10 times from one generation to the next is usually qualified as an epidemic, okay? So, and this is the reason why. The reason why the baby boomer blues happened, of this unhappiness category, was because he found that there's, of course, many factors. But one of the main factors was that that generation was instead of living for something greater than themselves, as a whole, obviously, not saying everyone did that, but as a whole, the generation lived primarily for themselves so they could be happy. Now, how is that? That's a paradox. How can we have more unhappiness when one of the greatest generations we have in our culture was working to be more happy for themselves? That's crazy. That's super crazy. Okay, so this message today is derived from two resources. One is from Biola professor J.P. Moreland, okay, and the other is from this book right here, okay, Radical. I've read this once, and I've been reading it again because we make our students read it, and I am amping on this book. What does that mean? I'm electrified. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm adrenalized. If you have not read a good book lately, you should, right now, take out your phones. I give you full permission. Go on Amazon and order yourself a copy. It's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. Okay, I can't give you this one because it's got all my notes. All right? But that's where the bulk of today's kind of insight and inspiration is coming from J.P. Moreland and this book, okay? So those are three main reasons why I'm, just three surfacey reasons, actually, why I'm proving to you that happiness is an addiction specifically in American culture, okay? Okay, so the paradox is that Americans are far more unhappy than most cultures. The more we seek to be happy, and the more it's our goal to be happy, we actually achieve less of it. That's the paradox. You could officially leave service if you want to. That's the answer to the fill in the blank, okay? All right? So the problem, though, that this has created is that it's the American dream has become the American nightmare, in my opinion, in Platt's opinion, okay? So I've been chewing on this stuff, and it's getting me excited because lots of people think I work outside of the box and things like that, but I'm just like, man, I could go bigger. I could do more. We could do more. I'm excited, okay? So Platt says the American dream is dominated by six things: self-advancement, self-esteem, self-efficiency, individualism, materialism, and universalism, okay? Let me say that again. I'm kind of giving you like a report here. It's not a typical Sunday message, all right? But it's good, okay? Self-advancement, self-esteem, self-sufficiency, individualism, materialism, and universalism. That's what the American dream is dominated by, okay? And I tend to actually agree with that. I don't know about you. If you actually chew on those words a bit, and you'll see that all over our culture, okay? But he also states that the American dream is to make much of self, us, me, I, right? But the goal of the gospel is to make much of God, Jesus, right? Those are not in line. Those are not running parallel together, okay? He actually delights in our inabilities, in our weaknesses. Why? Because that's when we get to go face to face to him and say, I'm out of control. I need some help. I'm losing it. I have four kids under six, right? Or whatever it is. I'm fired. I need to graduate. I need a new wife. I need a new husband. These are real things people say out loud or in the shower or driving in the car, right? Okay, so, but he likes that. He likes our inabilities because it draws us into him, okay? So that goes against the American dream, because the American dream says, I'm self-efficient, my self-esteem is good, I'm individualistic, I have all the things I need, okay? So do you see that? How are we doing here? Good. All right, so my goal here is to kind of show you that happiness is an addiction, first of all, but second of all, I want to give you three pathways to actually achieving true happiness. That's almost as cliche as the paradox of happiness. But it's good. It's good, okay? Three pathways to true happiness, all right? Okay, so flip your Bibles open to Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Okay? Matthew 16, 24 through 27, okay? I'm going to read that. So these three pathways are in general, I've pulled these from this scripture. So we're not going into a lot of scripture today because this scripture alone is heavy. This is so good, okay? And sometimes if we machine gun too much scripture, you're like, where are we going? What are we doing? But today we're just keeping it really simple, all right? So Matthew 16, 24, ready? It says, I'm reading out of the ESV here. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Now in Luke it says, let him deny himself daily. But it says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You guys heard the scripture before, probably. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits its soul? This is the American people right here. Okay? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? But the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay. I like that the ESV said the word repay. That just felt good to me. I was like, yeah, yeah. It's like a tax return or something, you know? He's going to repay each person according to what he's done, okay? This is great. Now, this scripture is not necessarily connected to the addiction of happiness usually, okay? So first pathway to happiness, all right? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. If you have a bulletin, it's there. It's point number one. If you're taking notes, take notes, okay? I grew up in teaching who says, one of my favorite verses is that don't just listen to the word and fool yourselves. Do it, okay? So take notes. Or you can, a quote I've always listened to is that my father-in-law told me once is, you can sit through 1,000 of these church sermon things or podcasts. There's a way better podcast than me going on right now. You could be listening to me or any of those, but if you don't apply it, you're wasting time, okay? So take notes, write it down. It's told that if you write things down, 43% of your life is more effective. If you tell someone else about it, it goes up into the 70s. Okay? So please don't just sit here and absorb mentally. I want to kick you in the pants and implore you to be more effective. Okay? So pathway number one, deny yourself. Okay? Self-denial is literally the art to happiness. Self-denial is the art to happiness? That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense. Okay? So many would define Christianity as God loves me. Or maybe you heard something along the lines of God loves me enough to send his only son, Jesus, to die for me. Right? That sounds pretty accurate. I actually think there's a problem with that, if that's how we define Christianity. Do you want to know why?
Yep.
Thank you, Paul. I like audience participation because both those definitions end with the word me. God loves me. That's Christianity. He gave his only son to die for me. Well, I think a more biblical sense of Christianity that is not popular at all is God loves me. Okay, I would totally agree with that. So that I might make him, his ways, his salvation, his glory, his greatness, the life he gave me, to be known among all nations. That's a little bit better definition of Christianity. Okay? But when we make me the object of Christianity, we get to say, I get to listen to the best worship music that fits my style. I choose the church that best fits me. I choose the plans for my life. I'll see the car that I think is best appropriate for me. I'll choose where I want to live, what I think is best for my family. That is totally like not what this thing is saying at all. Yes. Now, of course, we have free will because he's a gentleman. He loves us. He loves creativity. He loves to co-labor and co-create with us. I'm all for that. But I'm not necessarily seeing that. I mean, would Jesus really... Oh, I'm getting into my second point here. Anyways, that's all about denial. Denial to self is literally the art to happiness. Okay? So, God is the end of the gospel, not us. All right, point number two. Pathway number two. Okay? Take up your cross. Okay, this scripture in Matthew 16 is not actually about salvation. Some of you may know that, some of you may not. But when you see the words, for whoever would save his life would lose it, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, that has nothing to do with salvation. Some people think that. It has everything to do with identity and finding yourself, kind of more a philosophical approach. But you know why I like that? Jesus is a mastermind here. He likes identity. Almost more, go on the limb here to say, maybe than the term salvation. Because he wants to know, do you know your identity in me? Do you know your identity as a man or a woman? Do you know what I've called you to do? Okay, so this has to do with identity and calling and purpose, not salvation, okay? So point number two is take up your cross, okay? So take up your cross actually means, when you see that now, be okay with persecution. You actually signed up for a death threat. That's what take up your cross means. That's ridiculous. Why would anyone want to do that? That's why the church is unpopular. Okay? Because that's not what we're promoting. Okay? So be okay with persecution and even death. I wrote this down. Remember, discipleship demands sacrifice. Write that down. Discipleship demands sacrifice. Okay? In general, we like to minimize commands. I'm not saying we do this or you do this, but in general, we, especially American people, like to minimize commands into more of a negotiable calling. I don't feel called to that. Okay? Jesus wouldn't really say, don't bury your father. Jesus wouldn't really say, don't say goodbye to your family. Jesus didn't literally mean sell everything. What he really meant was, we like to make Jesus feel a little bit more like a middle class, safe, happy American. And I don't think that's what he's telling us to do at all. Okay? So look at Jeremiah 29:11. Okay? One of the what does it say? Huh? Yep. Well, that's great. This is a great scripture. A lot of people know Jeremiah 29:11. Did you know this is one of the most taken out of context scriptures? Okay? Taken out of context. Why do we take it out of context? Because it makes us feel happy. He gave me a hope, a future, a plan. Of course, I actually totally agree. I 100% agree that he has done that. But we take it out of context and we make it a little bit more about a less persecution, less challenges, more prosperity, right? God has a plan to heal me, forgive me, bring me health, deliver me quicker from suffering, be successful. If only we will have faith in him and say this prayer and accept him. What? What? If only we'll rub this little genie bottle and say, I believe in you. That's not what this is saying at all. But that's how we take that, okay? This is why America is becoming the fastest liberal nation behind Sweden, okay? My generation and below doesn't want lies, but they will do anything to be happy. Now, this is a problem in itself because my generation believes lies left and right to become happy. So they don't want lies, but they'll believe the lies to become happy. And then when we promote this kind of scripture in a prosperity kind of way, or you'll suffer like by the end of the week, we're believing it's done. Well, I don't know. Maybe the suffering's going to be there a long time. What he's called us to through the suffering. He'll be there through the suffering to endure with us. Okay? So, he actually guaranteed two things. Right? He loves us, and we're going to have persecution. Okay? So, suffering scriptures off the top. I'm a little behind here. 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live godly in life, a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Number two, John 15:8, if the world hates you, keep in mind, he first hated me. Number three, 2 Corinthians 12:10, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, which we already talked about, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He's almost promoting persecution here. The last one, 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The world is looking to persecute you. Okay? Okay, last pathway to happiness. Lose your life for his sake. Lose your life for his sake. Seek bigger things in yourself. Let's use the creativity and the entrepreneurialness and the hard work from the baby boomer generation, but let's get it back to something bigger than ourselves. The church, global church, not the American church, the global church, our family unit, the nuclear family, parenting, fathering, mothering, kids, okay? Happiness is a horrible goal. Write that down. Happiness is a horrible goal, but it's a great byproduct, okay? You get happiness from living a life full of wisdom, full of solid, deep character, through knowing God's purpose and identity for your life. Oh, that's my alarm. Through obedience, through a life that can easily display the fruits of the Spirit, easily display the fruits of the Spirit. Through a life in community, okay? That's where you get happiness. It's like kids. It's like, I'm excited about age 20 with all my kids. Right now, it's kind of like, I'm just head down, blinders on, let's go, right? But like when they're all 20, I'm like, okay, big Christmas party. Like the byproduct is there. Fiancés, girlfriends, sports. Like that's the happiness that I'm excited for. Right now, I'm kind of in the grind, you know? But that's okay. I know that. I didn't have kids. I didn't say, I'm going to have four to have happiness. No, I'm excited for what the legacy of my family is going to be, right? Okay? Okay, so at this point, you're probably like, I'm closing now officially. At this point, you're probably like, how the heck is this guy, the youth pastor? This is like the most boo-hoo, downer, suck the life out of me like message for a church. Well, it's an epidemic, so I'm going to address it because our generation needs to be addressed with real things, okay? So, reminder, happiness isn't a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's an amazing byproduct, but it's secondary, okay? We want you to live a deep, rich life, obedient, okay? True happiness is that. I don't want to promote selling you a bogus kind of religious answer to happiness, okay? So worship team's coming forward. I'm excited. I hope you're kind of getting that energy from me, even on the happiness addiction topic, okay? But I'm excited to be here. I'm excited you're here. I want to encourage you to step on your happiness doormat and think of me. Don't throw it away. Use it as a reminder or the sign above the washer and dryer. That's great. It's not a knock on that. I'm just saying, be aware. Okay? It's swiped our nation and gripped us, and we don't even know it because we just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. But when you operate in that mindset, that's an addictive kind of phrase, actually. Okay? So let me pray for you guys, and then we'll join in worship. And right after this, we'll have afterflow service. If you want to have prayer, prayer team, you can come up while I'm praying. But you can pray, you can worship. David will be facilitating our afterflow service. So if you need to just be ministered to, if you've been a victim of happiness, come forward and talk about that. There's donuts and coffee outside. There's a ton of fresh whole foods. Please take it all. It's going to be an amazing week. So let me pray for you guys, okay? And don't forget, I'm telling you, this is like homework. You need to get this thing. It's so fun. All right, Lord, thank you so much for today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for being so good to us for so long, for so many generations. You've been such a good provider. You've been such a good father. You've spoken to us. You've provided amazing opportunities for us. Lord, we just praise you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things you've done in every single person's life here this morning, or those listening or watching. It's actually incredible how you've taken such good care of us. Lord, I don't want to just strive to be happy. I want to have a deep appreciation for you, an obedience for you. Lord, help us to just be a church that breaks the cycle of striving for this secondary thing, happiness, and forgetting the main thing, you. Jesus, we love you so much. I'm excited for Huntington Beach, for California, for the United States of America. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.